Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 838. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, other than a little trip of the tongue, I'm doing pretty good here. I am having a beverage that I probably should have finished last week, but is holding up surprisingly well. It is the Zaftig's Irish Cream Stout that they only make a small batch of, because it's from their Bamalam series, but it does have an Irish Cream Stout taste to it. And considering that it's 10% alcohol, that is some pretty impressive work. But yeah, it's held up surprisingly well because I opened it once to have it on St. Patrick's Day and have not opened it since. So the carbonation kind of held well because of that, I think. So that will be an enjoyable beverage to have, Bell Time beer to have during this, preview of WrestleMania 39. I mean, we usually cover SmackDown and Raw, occasionally Dynamite. For AEW, but seeing as though this is the next to last podcast before WrestleMania 39 is in fact upon us, sir, or as the WWE has been wont to use these days, really loving the word penultimate this year. It's almost like a Vince McMahon word, except Triple H is in charge. So this is the penultimate Stunt Granny Audio here, full preview for WrestleMania 39, and I've got to give, I'm going to Wikipedia to see the layout of all of our card, and there is a lot of subject to change matchups here. I do think that Wikipedia has one thing right. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes is definitely night two and is definitely closing this thing out.
Yes, that's definite. And the other thing, one that's definite, well, definite is John Cena and Austin Theory opening night one. Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins has been locked in for night one because April 1st is Logan Paul's birthday.
Oh, yes.
And then from there, no, we really don't have any confirmation. Expectations that Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley will close night one, although there has certainly been more than a support for the idea of the tag team championship match between the Usos and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to close night one. We do not know for a fact if that is going to happen, or if that match is going to be on night one or held off for night two. We don't really know.
Yeah.
I could have swore Kevin Patrick said something about Brock Lesnar and almost being on Saturday, but that may have just been Kevin Patrick being an idiot.
Well, that is being listed here. Wikipedia does have more matchups for night one than night two. Austin Theory, and you mentioned Austin Theory and John Cena. Seth Rollins and Logan Paul are on there. Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. Bianca and Asuka, which would be interesting if they do both women's matches in the same night.
I don't think that's going to hold unless that was made official somewhere else today. I mean, they did the two women's title matches on the same card last year. And the second one really suffered for it, so...
You're hoping that they learned a lesson from last year?
Yeah, I would hope. I mean, you should keep... I mean, just little things we're going to do this two-night WrestleManias. Keep the two women's championship matches away from each other.
Yeah.
And keep the Intercontinental United States championship matches away from each other. I think that those would be hard and fast rules, along with if we ever split the world and tag titles again. You know, once again... Keep each set of light titles separated. I think that's a good rule if we're going to keep this two-night thing going.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't even need to, like, as long as they're separated, you don't need to have them be just branded nights at WrestleMania. But yeah, just kind of keep one or the other off of the show. And I think that'd be pretty handy dandy. So yeah, that one strikes me as, like you said, a possibility of moving. The one that you had ended with was Brock Lesnar and Omos. They have listed for night one. And also the six-woman tag match is listed for night one.
You know what? That, I don't know if, I think maybe Becky let that slip in a mainstream interview. I don't know if she necessarily was supposed to say that, but that does appear. I have seen that somewhere.
So, yeah, we have six matchups on night one unofficially here, which you and I both agree that the other women's championship match should be another night, just period, end of sentence. So that leaves up for grabs Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. Edge versus Finn Balor. The women's WrestleMania showcase with the four tag teams. Liv and Raquel, Natty and Shotzi, Ronda and Shayna and Chelsea and Sonya Deville. And then the men's showcase. This is another one where I hope that these are different nights.
I mean, in other sources beyond Wikipedia. No, I mean, you are correct about the Bianca and Asuka being night one.
Oh, okay.
Apparently. But let's see another one.
Yeah. I have not done a good job of researching before the show, as per usual.
Well, no, I mean, I was unaware that this was anything else had been set in stone.
Yeah, it still seems weird. Like, I think I remember even, because I felt like maybe Trish had said something during their promo on Monday that kind of led me to believe that they were night one. On top of the fact that you mentioned Becky may have let something slip there. So that's that leaves all of the women on night one except for possibly the women's showcase match.
That's a weird decision. And once again, WWE has not confirmed some of this, so.
Yeah,
I would say take it for a grain of salt.
Yeah, if you have four women's matches and you don't do two and two each night, that seems not well planned out. You know, I can understand if you end up with a fifth match and you've got to put one on one, you know, like you've got to put it on one card or the other. But in this case, you have an even number of women's matches. Just split it up on the two nights. You know, definitely similar to the championship situations. So, but yeah, I mean, that honestly, like, if that's the night one card, at the current moment. There's only six matches to be determined. Most of those are likely going to be Saturday night Sunday night.
Most of those then would be Sunday night, and with the possibility of adding a 14th match at some point, maybe something that puts Lashley on the card, or you know, some kind of a bonus match. Possible. Just to make it an even 14, but and seven or seven each night.
Yeah, I mean, they can always have a, because were they promising the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal for SmackDown?
Yes, that's a SmackDown.
Okay. They could promise whoever wins that some type of role at WrestleMania and squeeze in a 14th match that way, should they choose. No idea if that's actually going to happen, but, you know. Throwing it out there, WWE mole. Run with it. So, yeah, there's... So Men's Showcase, the other matchup that also undecided card-wise is the Usos taking on KO and Sami Zayn. And the Mysterio feud is the other match up for grabs. So, yeah, we've got, what is that? 13 matches at the current moment.
Yes, it is 13 matches, yes.
So, I mean, that's fine. If it's unbalanced, it's unbalanced. Like, I don't care if they balance the number of matches. Sometimes it does kind of depend upon layout and how long you think some of these things are going to go.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And how elaborate entrances are going to be. Were you at all surprised, I guess, maybe to go back to the beginning here, the literal beginning that we know of, John Cena, Austin Theory, the moment this was announced is the first match. I'm like, oh man, John really needs to get back somewhere, doesn't he?
Yeah, something like that. Once again, also wouldn't surprise me if Brock's pretty early, so he can get out of there. I'm shocked he didn't lobby to get
the opener too.
Do that first. Also, you know, because they do. I think more times than not, like to open the show, you know, with something, you know, fun and happy. I think that you know, that maybe tilts the scales closer to a Cena winning. Towards Cena, you know, pulling out the win here.
It was definitely an interesting choice this week for them to go with the empty arena promo for Austin Theory.
Yeah, I mean this. I mean, John has not came back after that one night in Boston four weeks ago. So yeah, they've had to do what they've had to do. Do a mini feud with Theory and the Street Profits, and then a empty arena promo. I mean, it's been pretty bare bones from what they've been able to do. Once again, of course, Cena not around. But you know, we're here. This is the match they're going with. I guess they're doing the best they can with it. It would not surprise me if John Cena wins this match. Don't know when the next time we would see him again is, but it would not surprise me if he wins this match. Especially since it's going first, and you always want to set the tone with the first match being something that the crowd is really into, and you don't want to do something that's going to bring the crowd down early.
Yeah, you don't want to wreck the crowd for the rest of the card right off the bat. So, yeah, that was another thing that did cross my mind, that I'm like, man, are they really kind of leaning into a Cena win here? You know. That is an interesting choice. I still don't get where they're at with Austin Theory, but I guess after this matchup, if both of us are wrong here, we will have an answer. I mean, if he gets the win over John Cena, that could set a very interesting tone for the crowd and see how things go from there. So I guess you would just want to start going through the matches here then, one by one?
Sure, why not?
At least somewhat confer for night one. definitely, I think we're all assuming going to be a very good match. Seth freaking Rollins versus Logan Paul. And similar to John Cena, you know, Logan Paul's been a little too busy to show up on a consistent basis. So Seth Rollins has gotten to do some heavy lifting of his own during this feud. And, hey, I mean, he's just one of the draws of the WWE at the current moment. The man hasn't been around a championship in a while, but he has certainly been entertaining for quite some time at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And this match should be absolutely tremendous. Certainly, if it's, as long as it stays away from the Intercontinental Triple Threat, I don't doubt that it could be match of the night. The match of night one. Looking forward to it. You know, Seth always delivers in these situations. Logan Paul hasn't missed yet. So, yeah, no, this is, you know, this is a match I'm definitely looking forward to.
So next up on the docket, the six woman.
Should we pick winners?
Oh, yeah, we should pick winners. I guess we both went with Cena for the first one. You know, I think part-timers are part-timers for a reason. I think Seth freaking Rollins gets the W here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Seth wins this one, yes. Yeah, Logan Paul can beat The Miz, but no, he doesn't get to beat Seth Rollins, no.
But I mean, that does speak volumes still about their faith in Logan Paul, that he's up against Seth Rollins. So yeah, with that being done, picking together again, Trish, Lita, and Becky Lynch taking on Damage Control, Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. Whew, man, this match just, the outcome really seems destined for this one.
Explain, I don't know if
it seems like the babyfaces are going to win almost hands down at this point.
Well, they did get the, Becky did get the win on Raw clean.
Yeah, that didn't help, and I mean, just because Damage Control hasn't done much in a while.
No, but I think that's maybe why they can, because you have two people on the babyface side that could easily eat a loss.
Oh,
and I think that's, you know, I'll go and predict a Damage Control win with Bayley pinning Trish. There, yeah.
Yeah, that could work out. I mean, if they want to reheat the Bayley, and
plus you can move Lita and Becky on, you know, forever, however long this team and it's going to last, and however long Lita's sticking around, because they still got the tag belts. Oh. until they lose them. And then,
yeah,
if Trish is sticking around, you can do that singles Bayley Trish match down the line.
Oh. Yeah, and I guess we can have some shenanigans involved in this matchup too. I don't know if they would Damage Control could recruit someone potentially to help turn the tide. I'm not sure if that's it. I mean, they haven't really even hinted at anything like that. But I guess you're right. There could be some shenanigans involved to help Damage Control pull out the W here and lead to better stuff down the line. But I'm still going with the baby faces here. And this was one that I guess I was a little bit surprised. I guess I've been surprised that Trish and Lita have done a lot of FaceTime, honestly, between the time that this match was officially announced and now. It was a little bit more than I was expecting. Did you expect to see them this frequently?
the male part timers. I mean, when they were, you know, in, I assume that they'd be in, and they've been on the show most, just about every week. There was that one week where everything was backstage, so I under the assumption they weren't actually physically in the building that that night. But other than that, they've been on, they've been out in front of the crowd every week. Again, this match has gotten the best gold of anything involving the women in heading into WrestleMania, including getting the entire first half an hour of Raw to itself, basically, which no one else got that amount. No other match got that amount of time. Not even Cody got the amount of time that those six ladies did.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did not think about how much of a clock chewer that was until you just mentioned it. But yeah, it did it did burn a lot of time, and everything else was kind of in and out far as, because I kind of like that, and it's something that we can get to a little bit later. But the weigh-in, Brock Lesnar and Omos had a well, we're supposed to have a weigh-in this Raw. It did not end up happening. But yeah, this hype has been pretty fun here. Omos has had to do nearly nothing and has looked impressive doing nearly nothing.
Yeah, no, they've done a good job. You mentioned it on Twitter. They've done a good job rebuilding him. It's almost a shame you gotta chop him down. But I mean, really, this is it. I mean, this is the last big thing you can build him. You can build him up for a match with Brock. You know, he's not going to be in the title. Omos is not going to be in the title picture. A match with him and Cody would absolutely not work in any way, shape, or form. So, I mean, this is pretty much it. And once again, I don't know what else you do with Omos after this.
Yeah, I mean, he really has a limited amount of people that he can interact with.
Yeah, I mean, he's already interacted with the two. He's already had his Braun. He had the Braun match, which he lost, by the way. So it's like, and now we built him for Brock, and nope, Brock's not losing this thing.
Yeah, and he's had the Bobby Lashley feud too.
Yeah, he had the Bobby Lashley feud. He lost that too. He essentially lost that too. which was the beginning of Omos not being exactly indestructible. Once again, they've done as good a job as they can to build him back up, but he has been beaten, picked up and slammed by two other people on the roster before Brock got to him. So it's, once again, it'll be a physical spectacle. They're doing the best they can with it, but once again, this would never have been my choice for a WrestleMania. Brock is basically stealing money. you would argue at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Brock is necessarily worth his salary. At the current moment, I feel like you and I have discussed it a little bit that maybe Brock's been coasting a little bit here.
Yeah, and they're gonna have to figure. I don't know what exactly is left on his contract, but if it's up before the summer and SummerSlam, I don't know if we would necessarily see him for a while, if ever, because they, you know. There's maybe a couple of things you could do with him left. That'd be worth it. That'd be possibly be worth it. I'm not even sure. Once again, it'll be a damn shame if we never get that Gunther match.
But
Brock doesn't want to play ball with the chops and mutual destruction of being thrown on his head. to see a bastardized version of that either.
Yeah, I mean, that was teased and then gone away from somewhat quickly. And it does seem like the WWE has admitted that Bray Wyatt is not going to be ready for WrestleMania here.
Yeah, whatever's going on there. yes, poor Bobby Lashley. He has been he's been jerked around in this build. He really has. He was probably expecting Brock at WrestleMania. He gets him at Elimination Chamber in a really not a good match at all.
And that's one that you think screams it. Mm-hmm. This needs another match, and it didn't get another match.
Yeah, no, this, yeah. I feel bad for Lashley. I mean, the Andre Battle Royal is the least they owe him for putting up with what he's put up with recently.
I agreed. Yeah. So, him and Bray Wyatt would have evened this out to a nice 14 matches, but alas, that is not the case.
Well, they could still do something, maybe coming out of the Battle Royal, the controversial finish that leads to another him wrestling someone else.
Yeah.
But still, it would be, it'd be a bone being thrown to him, nothing that was, you know, planned well or was, you know, worthy of Bobby. So, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, no, I mean, Bobby got, there's no argument that Lashley got screwed the worst heading into this weekend.
Yeah, he definitely got bumped a lot further down the card. That is for sure. Or maybe entirely off of it. So it doesn't really get a whole lot worse than that. So I guess final prediction for you was Brock Lesnar then.
Yeah.
We are back on the same page. Definitely going with Brock on that one. Next up on the Wikipedia list here, Bianca Belair versus Asuka, listed as the earlier of the two women's matches.
Yeah, once again, I'll believe that's on Saturday when WWE officially announces it. But once again, the build has been lackluster. I mean, there's just you can't. You can't really argue that. But once they get in the ring, it should be very good. And I'm going to predict Asuka wins the title and goes fully heel. That's going to be my prediction. That's what I'm going to predict. That's what I'm going to predict.
Yeah, you know, this was one where I felt like... this and the Charlotte and Rhea stuff benefited more from the video packages that the feuds themselves. And I think you and I have, you know, talked about it. Their feuds have just been not good, both of them. And those repackagings, I'm like, hold on, why is this working? Like, this is a lot better than what we've seen on TV here. Although, the Asuka and Bianca stuff has maybe been a hair better than what's happened with Rhea and Charlotte. But yeah, it's whatever. Kind of quibbling over things at that point. I thought that this one did benefit from the video package. It kind of sold Asuka as a badass, and it sold out the one thing, you know, I guess it pointed out the one thing that maybe it's a weakness for Bianca to have all these mind games being played. And I feel like they've mentioned the year-long reign of Bianca a lot. And it does... It always makes me wonder. Like, when you start talking about that a lot, I start going, huh, Is it ending soon then?
Well, she has to win for it to get over a year.
Yeah, well, right.
Because I believe her match last year was women on like awesome on April 2nd, I believe.
Oh. So, yeah, I mean, there is a story to be told if Bianca wins. So I wouldn't be completely surprised if she retains. And I think that's my choice. My heart definitely says Asuka. As much as I like Bianca and think she's done a great job, Asuka getting a run with, 'cause did she get her run without the crowd for the most part?
She had a good run without the crowd, yes, for the most part, yes.
So yeah, I would be all for Asuka getting a run here. With the live crowd, and I think that she could probably pull off more heelishness if they decide to direct her in that way. You know, they've certainly kind of leaked some stuff out if she does the mist for the win. That's definitely something that will irritate some people.
No,
And
I mean, yeah, it has to be the Miz, basically.
yeah.
I think that if Asuka's winning, I think, and once again, there is no upward mobility. There is no way around being any more than the number three babyface of the Raw women with Bianca and Becky both there. So
Oh.
it's to everyone's advantage to go heel.
Yeah, so that's the other
And they
reason. I think that yeah, that just benefits the women's division as a whole. Having another kind of top tier heel, because they don't have a lot of them. You know, even Charlotte is still more of a baby face than a heel.
yeah, let's move on to that one. Okay, so for the last 2 weeks, Rhea has not been with Dominic or the Judgment Day in any segments.
Oh.
They did that weird match with her and Bayley where she was essentially in a 3-on-1 situation until the other baby until the baby face squad came out and helped her. Now there was a little moment of Becky and Rhea, staring each other down, which
No.
could be a precursor of some things to come. Could be an omen. Then Charlotte goes on SmackDown and cuts a total heel promo.
Yeah, it is this really strange world where I guess I would not be surprised if Rhea Ripley gets cheered, especially at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, if this is just a way to get through WrestleMania and then she goes back heel and back fully with Dominic and the Judgment Day, I guess it's fine. Once again, you get to the question of what the heck, what do you do with Charlotte at this point? But the thing is, you put the title on Rhea. The biggest match that you can do with Rhea is Rhea Ripley as a champion is Rhea versus Becky Lynch. And the next big match you could do is Rhea versus Bianca.
Oh.
And neither of those two are turning heel anytime soon, that I don't believe. So Rhea does have to stay heel to get the matches that she needs to check off her list over the next year or so.
Well, and yeah, that'll be an interesting problem for them to solve since they are blurring the brand lines a little bit these days, a little bit more than they used to, at least. But they're still not kind of completely wiping them out. So yeah, someone needs to move brands since Rhea's going to be champion over on SmackDown. And if they do the draft after WrestleMania, that could be one way to solve that problem.
Yeah, it could definitely solve some problems. But yeah, but I don't see Rhea staying turny face. There's just not enough matches for
no.
To do that. As I said, the big matches were down the line are with other baby faces. So I think they know a WrestleMania crowd is going to boo Charlotte Flair against Rhea Ripley. They figured that out, so they're gonna play into it somewhat. I guess Charlotte can go full heel wherever she's going, whatever she's doing after WrestleMania. But at this point, you almost got to shrug your shoulders and go, "Who cares?" I mean, what do you do with Charlotte anymore?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it where, or maybe it was Jeremy. I can't remember which of you, but they mentioned that Charlotte's just this weird case of she just doesn't seem to fit in these in that six-woman tag match. You can see Becky Lynch being friends with other people. Charlotte just always seems like her own standalone product.
Yeah, she is. She always has been that, even when they've tried to put her other people with her. I think Dana Brooke most notably was someone they tried to make her sidekick. Didn't really play well, very great. Then there, various points. She's been tag team champion before. With women she was essentially feuding with Becky, with Asuka, those teams as teams, they never had chemistry. And Charlotte in general just won't evolve in anything. I mean, they've changed her music into something, once again, just like everything else, fairly generic. She's dressing maybe a little differently, but it's still the same, Ric Flair redux, robes and all. There just doesn't seem to be, Bailey, Becky, they've reinvented themselves three or four times, say in last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And once again, and of course, we are going on nearly 8 years of pushing most of the same women on top. So something does have to give here. And as I said, at least Becky and Bailey have shown willingness to evolve and to adapt to changing times. Charlotte has not at all. And there's really not many matches left for her. There really isn't anything left for Charlotte. The only thing she hasn't done yet of who's available is she hasn't had a full feud with Bianca that led to a big match on a premium live event.
That is the only thing not on her calendar, really.
Yeah, I mean, and they could do that. Once again, it's just, I've had this sense of Charlotte ever since she main evented that one that WrestleMania at MetLife Stadium. It's just, she checked off all the boxes. But there's nowhere else for her to go and make the kind of money she's making. and live the life she's lived. She's looked like she's wanted to move on with her life, but there's nothing to move on to. She's an interesting case like that.
Interesting case is something that I wanted to talk to you about. But let's pick winners, and then we'll talk about the other interesting case here.
Rhea.
I'm with Rhea, too. So the only one we're disagreeing on is the six-woman tag match. Everything else in the same thing. I guess we did find out something very interesting within the past week, Chris. Alexa Bliss's mysterious disappearance comes to light. She was smuggled onto the Masked Singer as Axolotl. And I'm going to assume, since they've been advertising that for a number of weeks, that she has at least was not the first person out in this season.
Did you catch the other reason she's been out of action?
The skin cancer.
the skin cancer removal. Yes.
Yes.
So yes, it's like I don't know which came before which, the skin cancer or the TV offer. So now, how many weeks was she performing under a mask before she was unmasked? I don't know. I've never actually watched a full season of The Masked Singer to know how it works.
That's what I'm not quite sure. I didn't really look into it. I just saw the story. I do believe I follow her on Instagram. So it's just I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Like, yeah, I suppose that's something that you take the chance to do if you're going to be on like one of the most popular TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, why did if you got offered that, it's just like, yeah, I'm taking it here, guys. And what the, I guess I was a little bit surprised, but I'm just like, man, her career is just one of the most fascinating things. Like, we didn't see her and we're just like, oh, it's something terrible again or something weird again. And it was definitely something weird, but not the weird that that I expected.
Yeah, no, she's already said that she will be in Los Angeles this weekend, which her and Ryan Cabrera also, you know, live there full time. So it's not a big, even if there are no plans for her, for her to be backstage.
She is literally going to be there.
Yeah. But I could see them involving her in something. You know, there are places where she could be placed, interfere and whatnot. We could certainly see her back. I certainly wouldn't be opposed to it, and it wouldn't completely shock me.
Her and Bray Wyatt come back together at WrestleMania. Blah.
Oh God, no.
Oh man. That terrible thought aside, I did find that interesting. that was one of those news stories that I did not find out from a news site. I think you've got I'm trying to think if everyone performs every week, because I feel like at the beginning of that program, my wife and I watched like the first two seasons, I want to say, maybe three. And I feel like you had to sing every week. And I feel like I'd seen advertisements just because I watch other programming on, they advertise it during SmackDown. So I guess I see ads for it, you know? So I felt like it was on a couple of weeks, but I did not really take a look at what her, how she did actually on the show.
So, yeah, once again, I have no idea the rules. I don't know how you win. I don't know anything about it. Do you win? I don't know.
The last person
left who they can't guess wins, right?
And you've got to, but you've got to put yourself in danger of being guessed. So, like, if you're one of the worst singers, because if you're one of the two worst singers that week, you're in fear of being unmasked. So they have, you know, a handful of, and I guess that's what I was trying to figure out. I don't think they necessarily do the whole bracket each week. So maybe she could have gotten bounced the first week that she was there, but I just didn't care enough to really, you know, she didn't really elaborate on it and I didn't look into it about how far she may or may not have gone. And I guess I wasn't surprised. She's like, oh, I want to thank my husband. I'm like, yeah, isn't he the, like, a front man of a band? Like,
He was a solo. He had one hit in the mid-2000s.
Oh.
His list of attractive female celebrity conquests outnumbers his number of chart-topping hits.
What does he do now, then? I guess I thought he was...
I think he still tours, he still performs, he might do some producing, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I know he still tours.
Okay, well then, yeah, he's still in music then, so I guess I would hope that he would be able to, help her out in the vocal department at least a little bit, or find the right people to help her out. So that was an interesting aside. So let's go on to the undetermined matches here for this WrestleMania card, because we can save Roman and Cody for last. Like that's just silly talk to get to that before last. Let's go with the other one that you already threw down for a possible match of the weekend: Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. Oh boy, this one is going to be quite the brawl. Do you think because this is triple threat rules, it needs to be separate from the Hell in a Cell match, since they could potentially get violent since there are no rules in a triple threat match?
Maybe, but I don't think they're gonna get violent like that. I think they're gonna beat the crap out of each other with their bare hands for the most part, and it's gonna rule. And I can't wait for it.
yeah, that was one thing that I was thinking. I'm like, nah, that just doesn't seem like any of these guys. Like, Sheamus can have that type of match. I don't feel like Drew, I feel like Drew's okay in those, but I also don't feel like he's had as many as Sheamus.
No, he definitely has, but they've had multiple together, though. They've had their shillelagh fights or whatever.
I kind of forgot about that one.
Whatever they call those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had those together. Yeah, it might get a little bit, but I think there will be more of a physical chaos going. They'll spill over into barriers and maybe over tables, but maybe not necessarily through them. Maybe a chair will get involved. But beyond that, they're not going to do all the other accoutrements.
They're not going to do a ladder spot, you don't think?
They're not going to do a ladder spot. They probably won't do kendo sticks or garbage cans. They probably won't do regular old wooden tables and things that will all be reserved for the Hell in a Cell match. Yes, but
yeah,
no. This will be real violence. This will be.
We're gonna see pictures on Instagram of welts the next day.
Yes, that's what we will see. We'll get into the Cell match. When it's time to talk about it, I don't want to get too into that one. But no, we're going to be seeing some wealth. We're going to see some scars. There's going to be some hard way blood. It's going to be a great time, and I'm looking forward to it. And I am going to predict Gunther retains. Although I could see the title changing without Gunther being pinned as well, but I'll go with Gunther.
I'm with you on the Gunther selection here. They seem to be pretty all in on him. Triple threat matches, I still feel like have... Usually when there's been a title change, it's been in the favor of a heel, so that they can kind of hide behind the I didn't pin you situation.
Yeah. Some point, though, Gunther is going to be a challenger for Cody. You have to believe, and the question is, how do you get the Intercontinental title off of him before that?
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know if that gets answered right now. I'm definitely not a fan of, Gunther dropping this and then dropping a feud to Cody right after it.
I don't think it'll be right after it. I think that might be closer to SummerSlam. That might very well be the SummerSlam match, or maybe even down the road from that. But it's got to happen, basically. I am predicting Gunther, but as I said, the title being changing without him being pinned, it's a possibility, but I'm not predicting that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Like I said, I feel like that's more of a heel kind of move, and neither Sheamus nor Drew fit that bill. Since I did kind of in Wiki's almost grouping these together, the violence matches here. Edge versus they have definitely been advertising the demon coming out for Finn Balor, with this week's promos.
They've changed the graphics, so they did the video they did with the overlay effect of the demon paint. He's the demon in the new graphic. So yes, no, it's going to be the demon. And there are two schools of thought to this match. They're going to have a violent, brutal match, exciting match, or they're going to have a very slow, plodding, overindulgent type of match. And unfortunately, Edge's return has had several of those. I would argue. Gotta get your acting in. Your facial expressions, your shock face, and all that kind of stuff. It used to be a guarantee that a Hell in a Cell Meta Classic match. Then came that Triple H Shawn Michaels match about 20 years ago. That went about 2 hours. And then other people, for some reason, thought that was a good match, and that's how you're supposed to do these things. so you pound on people very slowly, and you move very slowly when it's supposed to be this chaotic thing that you want to get away from. You either one of two things: you want the baby face wants to destroy their opponent, and the heel wants to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Oh.
That's how the original Cell match with Undertaker Shawn Michaels went. Of course, the Undertaker Mankind Hell in a Cell match, that was a completely different deal. No one's trying to copy that.
I don't think anyone needs to copy that. Anyone that's seen Mick Foley afterwards should not want to copy that.
The babyface wants to destroy their opponent, but the heel wants to quit as quickly as possible or find their way to escape it. Although that's not the rules of the match. So once again, I hope it's more towards the former than the latter that I mentioned. But I do worry.
No,
Edge has kind of gotten up his own ass on this run a bit, as far as the kind of matches he wants to do here. I'm hoping once again, because it's WrestleMania, because they want to, WrestleMania. He has probably stricter time cues than so on any other show, that they won't be able to overindulge themselves, and they'll have a brutal, violent match that isn't too long and feels like a satisfying conclusion to this feud. Although I feel like the feud ended satisfyingly after the mixed tag, and has barely even been on TV in the last 6 weeks, so that's kind of hurting it too. I don't know. It's kind of an underwhelming match build for a Hell in a Cell match. This is the first Hell in a Cell match away from the Hell in a Cell pay per view, which they're apparently not going to do anymore. So you would hope that they were going to begin to use it more sparingly and for the right feud. And I'm not sure this is the right feud.
I'm definitely with you on that one. It really the anger for a Hell in a Cell match would have been months ago.
Yeah, they left this feud long peak, and we're just still going.
Yeah. So yeah, to busting it out now, just it seems really awkward. And so, you know, what are you gonna do? This is a little bit of a toughie. Finn Balor just has not won anything.
Yeah, and it's but gonna be the demon again.
Edge wins, right?
You know what? Screw it up. I'll go with Balor.
Okie dokie. Well, that's fair enough to disagree on that one. And like I said, I guess this is definitely one where I guess my heart says Balor, because Judgment Day needs some type of win to hang their hat on if they really want to continue as a group. And I don't know it well. Yeah. There is some question as to whether their woman star is going to get a win in her matchup, and I would be really surprised. I guess, let's just jump to that one. Why not? Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, the last Judgment Day feud here. What did you think about this past SmackDown? When Ray finally hauled off and hit Dominic,
it was incredible. I mean, it was beautiful. It proved that, you know, good things go to people who wait. It was that patience is a virtue. they built this up for 6 months, and the payoff was gigantic. The people lost their minds when he finally hit Dominic and accepted the WrestleMania match. This may be the best. This is probably the best build up to a match at WrestleMania, because I've had my issues with Cody and Roman's build up. It feels like the whole Sami Zayn thing did peak at Elimination Chamber. So it's like,
yeah.
In the weeks since, this has probably taken over as the best storyline in WWE, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, they really did a slow burn to start things, honestly, because they just kind of had the interactions that started at Thanksgiving, because they did kind of give it a rest, you know? Ray moved over to SmackDown. There was a little chitter-chatter back and forth after the initial move, but then they let it die down, and then the whole Thanksgiving fiasco got the thing, you know, got the feud back on everyone's radar. Like,
Prison Dom, yes, all of it. It was fantastic. And
yeah.
Then post-Elimination Chamber, really, that's when they started interacting every week again. Dominic started going over to SmackDown. Ray came over to Raw once or twice. No, definitely at least twice. Maybe three times, but definitely at least twice. So, you know, and this was the one where it made sense to drag out the acceptance of the match, you know, until close to the last minute. And once again, the payoff was huge. And the match itself will probably be all right. I don't think they'll let it go unbearably long or anything. They won't put Dominic out there like that.
Yeah, I do not think it's not going to be as short as Brock versus Omos. It is definitely not going to be the longest match of the weekend.
Yeah, maybe you could even throw Cena and Theory into there as well as matches. It will probably be longer than.
Yeah.
It won't go that long. It'll be a lot of fun. You know, I'm kind of torn on picking a winner here. I mean, I think if you're just blowing it all off and you just want to give people that happy ending, Ray wins. But then where does Dominic really go?
Yeah, of all the people that I've complained about, yeah, if you want Dominic to have a future, he needs something to hang his hat on, and I guess you could give him a feud after this one to win to help kind of make up for it, but man, yeah, that's, this is a tough one to come back from.
It is a tough one because then it is over. The feud's over, the storyline's over, his entire arc is over. So I'm gonna go with Dominic. There will be some chicanery with Priest or Rhea, or I know some people mentioned Santos and Legado turning against Rey as a possibility if they could all get involved. But I think Dominic's gonna win. I think Dominic's gonna win on shenanigans. I'll pick Dominic.
Okay, let's I am good with agreeing to disagree. I'm gonna go with Rey Mysterio winning this one. Everyone gets a happy ending. Honestly, I could see.
I do think there probably are as we've gone through this and made our predictions, the ones that we've agreed on or not, does seem like there's more heel wins than babyface wins for WrestleMania. That's usually not how they do things. So, but I'll still hit with Dominic.
I was gonna say that. This one would not be surprising to me to open night two.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to open night two with this.
Especially if you did kind of, again, I guess we talked about, a babyface win to start things off. That'd be a good way to get the evening rolling, quite possibly. So, yeah, there is that. So, I guess the last big match to talk about here then, and then we can maybe lump the other two matches together, I suppose.
Well, no, we have two big matches then to talk about. We haven't talked about the tag title match yet.
Yep, that was where I was going next.
Oh, that was going, okay, so you're saving Roman and Cody for absolutely last.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely last for those two. I was talking about the showcase matches, jamming those together.
Okay. Okay, let's talk about the tag team championship match.
Yeah.
Good build for this. I thought they dragged out Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's reunion a little too long for my taste. The moment where they finally did reunite and hug was still a big moment. Not taking anything away from it. Match should be really good. And I am predicting a title switch.
This is one where I am kind of interested to see how the WWE plays this. This is definitely another one that to me could be a candidate for opening match of the card. And if you have Kevin and Sammy go over, everyone just goes bonkers to start the evening.
Or it can still close night one.
Yeah, everything's still subject to change on this list until Cody versus Roman. I this could be a closer. It could be an opener. It's definitely received as much TV time as anything else on this entire WrestleMania card. It definitely deserves whatever spot they decide to put it in. I guess it will be interesting to see where they put this. I don't think I'm going to disagree on this one, so I am going to pick KO and Sami Zayn. It would be an interesting storyline, though, if the Usos retain and Roman Reigns is the one who loses the championships.
You could do something with that. It'll be interesting to see either way you go, what the follow through is going to be. Because I think that's the story of this WrestleMania is so much more than last year being one great weekend of action. That then was then followed by maybe one of the worst periods of WWE history.
One of those periods that Stunt Granny started to go, why are we doing two of these podcasts every week?
Yeah, Yeah. So, I mean, the Smith story is going to be the follow through. What momentum they carry? What momentum they carry out of this? Because they could very well have a lot of momentum. There's a lot of cool, a lot of new stories you can do. You know, what happens when the bloodline crumbles? Do the Usos stay with Roman? Do they go faith? How does Roman react to not being champion for the first time in 2.5 years? We're getting to love ourselves here, but again, there's so much intrigue. But no, as I said, I'm going to stick with it. And I guess we're both sticking with the title.
Yeah.
Titles changing here.
Yeah, it definitely seems to me, if you're still not a fan of how they've transitioned Sammy kind of giving Cody Rhodes approval to go after the championship as best that they could, I can only imagine that you'd be even more crestfallen if Sami Zayn doesn't win the championships at WrestleMania. You know, I know that people love Kevin Owens, but it this does feel like more of a Sami Zayn kind of story currently. And I did quite enjoy a lot that Kevin Owens came up with a new shirt for WrestleZania. So kudos to Kevin Owens for marketing a fresh new shirt. Very smart of that gentleman. Just like Stone Cold, always be making new shirts, baby.
So,
is there a lot to be said about the women's and or the men's showcase matches?
No, not at all. I mean, we're running along as it is. So. Women's showcase, Ronda and Shayna win it all and then eventually and then go after the tag belts. Men's showcase. Maybe the Viking Raiders, although they took the pin on Raw, it's going to be Babyface Tag Team Champions, most likely. Okay, I guess the Viking Raiders, why not?
Yeah, I didn't realize how much worse the men's honestly looked here.
Cause, I mean, it might be a fun little match, but there's just not much to it. It's no real point to it. It's not... You know, just set your high spots and be out in less than 10 minutes.
Well, like you said, I think you captured what the biggest problem is that almost all of these are babyface teams, except for the Viking Raiders, and you're gonna have babyface. More than likely, you're gonna have babyface champions.
Yes, you're gonna have babyface champions, and the Usos have already beaten Ricochet and Braun.
Oh.
And they've already beaten, Street Profits so many damn times. You really got nothing there. Alpha Academy is most likely breaking up after WrestleMania. Otis will join the Maximum Male Models full time soon.
He'll actually get them on TV consistently.
Well, I'm not sure if. They're exactly in. They love Maxine Dupree. I don't think they know if they're necessarily in love with Massey and Mansoor.
Mansoor.
They obviously don't really have great plans for them. But
no, that's why they're getting bounced from their own group by OTs.
I certainly see that happening. And then, the Viking Raiders, they'd have a fine match with Sammy and Kevin. To pass the time, I guess.
Yeah, we need some heel tag teams, and they fit the bill. So, I guess I'm with you. Viking Raiders with the W. The other, Street Profits just... They seem destined for singles action here sooner rather than later. I mean, they keep on hinting at it, but they keep on keeping them together. And I kind of understand. Like, right before this WrestleMania was not the time for them to go singles. You know, if by this time next year there's at least a Montez Ford singles match, would not be surprised. So, yeah, little too late to pull that trigger, so why give them the win? Like you said, Alpha Academy seems to be on the outs. And Braun and Ricochet just kind of challenged for the championship. I'm surprised at how well they're working together, and the crowd seems to dig them together. I guess we'll see how long that lasts. Neither has... Like, I guess Braun is another guy where he's kind of limited with what he can do in the singles division sometimes. And maybe it's an okay idea to have him in a tag team.
Yeah, no, I think him and Ricochet have been a good team, actually.
Yeah. Born out of a Twitter feud, things have turned out fairly well for both of them.
Yep. Daddy Triple H made the two boys sit in a room and build a puzzle together.
Oh, man, just like Vince McMahon used to do. So, yeah, final match here. Yeah, you said we were going long. Let's go ahead and get to this one. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, main event, definitely night two. I mean, are we going right into predictions? Or are we talking about build up? There wasn't. I mean, Cody Rhodes has his match with Solo Sikoa this Raw. I really hope that Cody does not have a match on Friday.
No, I think they're just gonna have a face to face interview segment. I wouldn't even think that they get physical. No, I mean, yeah, Cody had a match with Solo. Match was fine. Paint my numbers what you would expect, how you expect even the finish to go. No. But there's something wrong with that. It was good.
Yep.
Cody is insanely over. Everywhere he goes, a lot of the pundits were wrong about how this was going to go. Cody is certainly the guy right now. And
yes, he is. Well, he is definitely not getting pooped on like Batista was back in that run there.
No, he's not. He is legitimately the most popular person in the business, week to week, building to building. Maybe you might want to try to dispute it. I don't see. And then you got there's been ever since he's come back, house shows are selling out with him on top, but the TV shows are selling out. I don't know if his merchandise is through the roof. His crowd reactions are as big as anybody we've seen in modern time, in modern history.
Yeah,
he is simply the guy, and he should beat Roman Reigns, and he will be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, this is another one of those ones where it's just like, don't overthink it. Like, it is really easy to just even look back to Roman Reigns himself. It seemed like he was destined for a WrestleMania win, and then he lost. And then, did he lose the following WrestleMania then after that? Right when it seemed like, oh, they're back on track to crown Roman Reigns. And it's just like, oh my gosh, you guys just can't get out of your own goddamn way. Like, just make him the guy. It took like 4 years to make Roman Reigns the guy. And it shouldn't have taken that long. And it has not taken that long with Cody. And just pull the trigger. And it definitely seems like they're leaning in that direction. Roman does not have much of a story to stay on top any longer than this.
No.
You know, we're definitely shutting down this podcast before the next person there's someone that breaks Roman Reigns' record for, modern championship reigns.
Yeah. It's time. it's time for him to lose. It's time to see how he reacts to losing, how he reacts to the bloodline, his empire crumbling around him, when his back is against the wall. That could be sort of some fun TV over the course of the next year. Who stays with him? Who goes against him? Just a number of things you can do. I think that's certainly the way to go. There's no reason to swerve or hold it off or anything. This is it. As our friend of the show, Steve Williams put it, I'll paraphrase. Sometimes the expected decision is the expected decision for a reason.
Yes. The obvious call is the obvious call for a reason. So, I already mentioned Belltime Beer at the beginning of the show, but it's, I suppose, worth reiterating, even though you can get it only on St. Patrick's Day. It was Zaftig Brewing Irish Cream Bam-a-Lam. If you like dark beers and heavy dark beers, Zaftig is the place for you. They describe themselves as making full-bodied beers, and they definitely do that in spades. So if anyone happens to be in the Ohio region where they distribute, I suggest picking some up. Bam-a-Lam is one of their great, just their regular one is a quite tasty imperial stout that is worth seeking out. So that is the Belltime Beer of the show from at DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.